Let's go, Victor. You have a throne waiting for you.
Do you think I care about that now?
Yes, you have to. Because if you don't, Emma and everyone else who's followed you will have died for nothing. Now go in there and take the throne, Victor. It's waiting for you.
Yes, I suppose it is. There isn't anyone left to stand between me and it any longer.
Taggart looked at Jordan.
The gateway, Victor! We forgot about the gateway!
She stepped forward and threw open the double doors. Jordan stepped in beside her, and his stomach lurched sickly as he saw the new gateway. Midway between the doors and the throne, the monk hung unsupported on the air. His robe was flung open, revealing a surging mass of light and color. There was no trace of a body within the robe, or that there ever had been. The monk had become a living gateway through which the unreal could enter the real world. Creatures out of a nightmare dripped in a steady stream from inside the monk's robe like maggots from a rotting carcass. They fell to crawl, slide, and scuttle across the floor, and there were always more close behind. A gusting wind blew from the gateway, hot and prickly and rank with burning ammonia. Jordan stared in horror at the unreal that had already taken root in the great hall. Horrid creatures scuttled up and down the walls and clung upside down to the ceiling, feeding delicately on tiny morsels of fresh meat. Blood dripped from the ceiling in a steady stream. The throne sat intact upon its dais, untouched by all the madness, but a barrier of seething thorns had grown up around the dais, sealing it off. Jordan looked helplessly at Taggart.
I can't do anything to stop this madness until I get to the stone, and I need an army at my back just to reach it. What am I going to do, Kate?
Only one thing we can do, Victor. We'll have to destroy the gateway. You did it once before.
That was different. This time the gateway's aware and intelligent and unreal. The monk's got to be unreal.
Right. I always thought he was, but I wasn't even allowed to run tests on him as long as he was under Lewis's protection. We've got to stop him, Victor. The balance here shifts too far. Castle Midnight will become one huge gateway through which the unreal can run loose in the world.
Jordan swallowed hard and wished there was somewhere he could run to and still be safe. But as long as the gateway was open, nowhere would ever be really safe. He looked quickly around him. Roderick and the guards stood clustered at the main doors, their faces white with shock and horror. But Cord, Taggart, and Gawain stood calm and ready to back him up. Their confidence gave him strength, and he nodded abruptly.
Right! Everyone, we're going into the hall. You'll have to try and hold off the unreal while I make a dash for the stone. Stay close together, watch each other's backs, and if you get a chance at the monk, take it. You might not get another. All right, my friends, let's do it!
He moved forward into the hall, and the unreal surged toward him in a monstrous tide. Misshapen creatures that had no place in the waking world boiled across the floor, and Jordan's guards met them with flashing swords. The tide faltered and broke against the unflinching steel, and Jordan and his people pressed forward. Gawain fought at Jordan's left, his axe glowing bright as the sun. Taggart fought at his right. Her balefire sword spit and crackled as it hewed through flesh and bone alike. Behind them, Cord threw away his mace. He pulled out of nowhere a huge and terrible warhammer. The solid steel head alone had to weigh at least 20 pounds, and it was set on the end of 5 feet of polished oak. An ordinary man couldn't even have hefted it, but Cord swung the hammer as though it was all but weightless. Cord stood his ground and let them come to him. He felt no anger toward them. They were his brothers in a way, born like him of random chaos and unreality, without mother or father, sprung adult and fully formed into a world that was forever alien to them. Cord looked like a man and felt like a man, but he had never made the mistake of believing himself to be a man. He was a whim made flesh and blood, a possibility given form and motion, nothing more. He was unreal, and a traitor to his own kind, perhaps. But still he fought on, guarding the back of a man he'd come to admire, and a woman he might have loved if he'd been real. Things that looked horribly like men crawled up out of the cracks in the floor. Something huge and dark scuttled lightly down the wall and dropped onto a guard. Gossamer strands of pink and purple drifted on the air and wrapped themselves around the fighters, tightening inexorably into glistening cocoons that crushed and devoured their contents. One whole wall became a vast inhuman face. A dozen men looked into its great golden eyes and went insane from what they saw there. And still, Jordan and his people struggled ever closer to the throne. Sir Gawain fought tirelessly, his axe falling and rising with grim efficiency. He gave no thought to anything save the struggle, and blood ran down his face like tears. With Emma's death, all his emotions had run out of him, save for a simple, cold need for revenge. Nothing else mattered. Nothing mattered but killing the monstrous things that were responsible for all the evil in Castle Midnight. His axe rose and fell, and the creatures of the unreal fell back before him. Gawain cut them down and moved on to the next, feeling nothing, nothing at all. Taggart fought at Prince Victor's side and smiled savagely as her balefire sword sliced through every monstrosity that walked or crawled or flew within her reach. Nothing got past her to strike at Victor, though many tried, and a slow, steady pride burned within her. Even in the midst of blood and carnage, she still had time to find a small smile at how fast her feelings toward Victor had changed. He'd not been a bad sort before his exile, just weak and easily led by the wrong people. She hadn't cared much about him then, one way or the other. But the man who'd emerged from the chaos of King Malcolm's death had been of a much finer sort. A true prince of the blood, worthy to be king. And a man Kate Taggart was growing increasingly fond of. She smiled again, and then put the thought firmly out of her mind. She'd think about that later. Assuming there was a later. She fought on, sweat running down her face and soaking her chest and sides as a grinding fatigue grew slowly inside her. The balefire was a constant drain on her strength, but she didn't dare give it up for an ordinary sword. It was the only advantage she had. She just hoped her magic would last long enough for Victor to reach the stone. If it didn't, then perhaps everything they'd been through had been for nothing after all. Roderick cut and thrust with his sword and wondered how everything could have gone so horribly wrong. His plan had seemed so perfect in the beginning, so simple and straightforward. But first, the little things had got out of control, and then the bigger things, until finally he had come to realize that he was only a part in someone else's plan. A bitter resignation was all that kept him going now. That, and a burning hatred for the vile creatures that swarmed around him. Whatever he might have been and done, the castle was his home and always had been. And while he might not fight for a prince or a king, he'd fight to preserve his home from the foulness that threatened it. Jordan swung his sword with an aching arm, stumbling and sliding on the blood-soaked floor. His blows were getting slower and weaker, and his lungs burned in his chest as he fought for air. He was an actor, not a soldier, and he knew he couldn't last much longer. His will and determination were as strong as ever, but there was a limit beyond which even they couldn't drive his failing body. He glanced about him as he fought, trying to see how the battle went, but the hall had become a confused mess of struggling bodies that defied any clear interpretation. There seemed to be no end to the unreal, and no matter how many creatures fell, there were always more to take their place. His guards were fighting fiercely, but one by one they were falling beneath bloody fangs and claws and not rising again. His colleagues around him were still fighting well, but he could see strain and fatigue stamped clearly on their faces.